This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about gene therapy. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Cost is a major issue with gene therapy treatments, but the price tag is changing for some of them, for example, CAR T-cell therapy. In 2012, this approach created what looked like a miracle for Emily Whitehead. She was the first child to receive this brand new treatment after her leukemia had relapsed twice and she was out of other options. Now, more than 10 years later, not only is Emily cancer-free and doing well, the manufacturing process for this therapy is changing, which will make the treatment more available to more people around the world. This summer, I went to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia to see that process in action and to learn how it all came about.
These are the large liquid nitrogen freezers. You see a number of these.
Steve Grupp is one of the people who helped develop CAR T-cell therapy, and he's the pediatrician who treated Emily Whitehead. He runs the cell therapy and transplant program here at the hospital. CAR T-cell therapy is a way of using the immune system to treat cancer.
And this was something that was just a dream 20 years ago.
Physicians collect T-cells from a patient.
We genetically engineer those T cells, and that imbues them with a cancer-fighting property they didn't have before. And then that genetic engineered T cell is then given back to the patient. What happens with CAR T is that these cells go into the patient, and then they see all this cancer, and they say, "Oh, we gotta really staff up here." And so now all of a sudden we put in so many cells, and now we got 1,000 times that many.
This approach works really well for blood cancers, but not for cancers with solid tumors like breast, lung, or pancreatic cancer.
They have protective mechanisms that they've developed as part of being cancer, and those cancer cells in a lump, in a solid tumor, are able to exclude T cells from the inside. That's something they've learned how to do in the process of becoming cancer. And so in order to have the same kind of success with the more common adult solid cancers, we have to be able to overcome that limitation of getting the CAR T cells inside the cancer. It's something that people are spending a great deal of time sorting out, and we're beginning to see hints that that's beginning to work.
With CAR T-cell therapy, if things work well, the engineered cells stick around in the patient's body long enough to fight the cancer and beyond. Steve says that's what happened with Emily Whitehead.
Saw her in clinic a few weeks ago. She still has CAR T-cells in her body. It's 11 years later. So she's taking her CAR T-cells from Children's Hospital to the University of Pennsylvania, where she's beginning her education.
In 2017, the FDA approved the first CAR T-cell therapy for cancer, Kymriah. Now there are 6 FDA-approved products.
Describe the very bespoke nature of this drug and how it is so individualized and what the challenges are that that brings.
So bespoke is exactly the way to describe this kind of cell treatment. So we're taking cells from each individual patient. We're manufacturing these cells in essentially 2-week process. We're trying to make that process be faster, but right now it's a 2-week process. And then at the end of that, we have cells that we have done a million tests on to be able to give them back safely to the patient. And we have proven to the patient, their parents, since I'm a pediatrician, and the Food and Drug Administration that this is a pure, safe product that can give back to the patient. And that bespoke nature means that we're doing the kind of testing for every single batch that every single cell product that we make for a patient, we're doing the same kind of testing that a drug company would have to make for something that they're making 1,000 vials of. Those tests are fairly complicated and add to the expense and the length of time.
All of this makes the drugs very expensive, and that has been a challenge.
If we want to scale to more common tumors, if we want to scale to countries that can't pay the kind of prices that you see in the first world, then addressing the manufacturing process is the number one challenge.
But now, a new way of producing these therapies right at the hospital rather than in a drug company's lab could make things more affordable and speed up the process. Steve and his colleague, Stefan Kadocki, associate director of the Cell and Gene Therapy Lab, gave me a tour.
And when you look through these windows, you can see what we call the support area.
We headed to another part of the hospital, to a clean room facility.
They're called clean rooms because we control, using HVAC, how many particles are floating around in the air. And
I was only allowed to go in because there was no active manufacturing happening on that day. But still, before we went any further, we had to put on caps and gowns and slide booties over our shoes.
All right, I love it already.
We walked past big silver cylinders that hold frozen stem and T cells collected from patients into another smaller room.
So now we're in what's called a class 100,000 or ISO 8 clean room.
Stefan showed me a machine on the counter with hooks and buttons. It can manufacture CAR T cell therapy right here at the hospital.
This is the Clinimax Prodigy, and it's considered an automated cell processing device.
All of the raw materials, the cells collected from patients, culture medium, and so on, they are in different bags and connected through plastic tubing in a closed system. The machine has a built-in computer, and then
10 to 12 days later, you have your CAR T-cell product that's ready to infuse. Most of this time is cultivation period, meaning that you have a certain amount of CAR T cells that you just made, and now you want them to grow up 10 or 20 fold.
For what it accomplishes, the machine looks surprisingly simple. It reminded me of a fancy coffee maker. Steve Grubb and Stefan Kadocki agreed.
I have one of these automated latte machines, and I don't know what goes on in that thing, but it makes really good lattes.
The engineering controls are very much comparable to the engineering controls of an espresso machine, in that you have these peristaltic pumps, you have something that makes things colder or warmer, and you have a way to push fluid along through some tubing. So in a way, it's a very mechanical process, and the genius really, in my mind, is that they apply this very simple mechanical pushing fluid through tubing with this closed tubing set to do the entire manufacturing process essentially in one big bag.
Stefan and Steve first had to get this on-site manufacturing process all figured out and approved by the FDA, which meant a lot of paperwork. But it is helping to make the drug much less expensive.
Within our specific setting, and this is where you already have a stem cell lab, where you already have a laboratory medicine department that can do a whole bunch of the tests that you need to do, we can install a Prodigy machine, we can manufacture the product at a very, very significantly cheaper cost than the commercial product. We've done some pretty careful cost analysis studies, and we found that including labor, including all of the release testing, and this is why I want to be clear about this, this is really just a marginal cost to make one product. This doesn't include facilities and anything else, but we can do this for about $30,000 per patient.
And before it was roughly what?
Well, if you buy a dose of Kymriah, the first approved product from the Novartis company, it's $570,000.
And now Stefan is making international connections to get this process to more hospitals.
Price is one of the issues, but the other thing is that we spent a significant amount of time figuring out how to make this work for us, how to convince the agency that this is safe, that we know what we're doing. We wrote very comprehensive standard operating procedures that have a lot of our know-how and a lot of our experience baked into them. And we feel that it's a really good thing to not keep that under lock and key for ourselves only, but to use this internal knowledge to improve patient access in other places.
And for Steve Grubb, this is the next frontier, the next challenge with these therapies.
That's always been the hope, right? That you would start out with something complicated that works, and you go, oh, that's so exciting that it works. And now let's find a way to make it more automated and make it more available. And the issue of access is something that we think about all the time.